The book of Job doesn't end with chapter 2. I think sometimes we forget that as Christians. Let's turn to Job chapter 3 and examine this man a little further. The book of Job chapter 3. Now, this morning, we would like to continue in our studies on the topic that we have been dealing with, matters of the heart. Matters of the heart. And this is the fifth study on this subject, although on Wednesday nights we have been dealing with matters very much related to the Christian heart as well. But nevertheless, in the book of Job, we have the record of the most marvelous and unique ministry that a mortal was ever called to sit under. The immediate, direct ministry of the living God Himself. We have no record of God having dealt with a man in the Bible in such a sublime way as in this book. Now, needless to say, Job's heart was never the same after he dealt with his God. Now, today, because of the size of the book of Job, we will again be looking at an overall overview of the book. Now, we're taking it very much for granted that you have a working familiarity of this book. If you do not, it's going to be much more difficult to understand the biblical truths that we will look at today. But in the book of Job, we have a rare glimpse into the heart and into the thought process of a believer as his God deals with him in extremely stressful conditions. These conditions are similar to the circumstances of life that we all go through as God's children. Because of this, God can teach us a great deal about the Christian life and about ourselves. Now, after the first two chapters of this book, which Michael read to us, which really introduced the calamities which befell Job, we are introduced in chapter 3 to Job's true heart responses to not only his circumstances, but also his response to his God. So let us read again what was in Job's heart as his three friends gathered around him to offer what they thought would be comfort and advice. Job chapter 3, verse 1. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived." So this man of God cursed the day he was born. Now, we discussed this attitude in our last study, which was last month, and we came to the conclusion that this is not how God desires His children to respond to trial in their life. Cursing the day you were born is indicative of a defeated heart, a heart which is fainting, and a heart of self-pity and self-occupation. So, this man of God cursed his day. But to further see what was in Job's heart, turn over to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Let's break in at verse 17 of chapter 9. Now here is Job referring to God. And it says, "For he," that is God, "breaketh me with a tempest, and multiplieth my wounds without cause." He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. Here is Job speaking, and he's replying to his friend Bildad from chapter 8. And in doing so, in referring to God, Job says, notice, He, God, breaketh me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. Now note that phrase, without cause. Job was telling his friends that God did not have a reason to afflict him in such a manner. Without cause, Job said. He questioned God's justice and God's right to deal with him in such a way. It says, He breaketh me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds. But not only that, Job says, God does it without a reason or without a cause. But in addition to this, in verse 18, Job claims that God is the one responsible for his bitterness. He says, He, that is God, will not suffer me to take my breath, but fills me with bitterness. Now, if you look over in chapter 10 and verse 1, just across the page, Job says, I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Now, it's clear that Job, because of the things that he endured at this time in his life, was a bitter, angry, self-absorbed man who held God responsible for his own heart attitude. He filleth me with bitterness. Now, I believe these verses are sufficient to show what was in Job's heart as he dealt with his God, and as his God dealt with him. Now, we do have much we can learn from these things. And don't think that we're being too critical of Job. We must remember that Job did not have the light that we possess in this age of grace. Although from chapter 19 of this book, we do learn that Job did know that his Redeemer lived. He could not have known and experienced the great comfort that we have as Christians today. As the writer to the Hebrews said, For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Job did not have this. And yet he endured the greatest of calamities. This was truly a great man of God. Make no mistake about that. And yet, he had damaging issues of the heart, which only God knew about and only which God could address. As far as Job was concerned, he did not know or understand how God deals with and reveals our hearts to us. He did not understand this. And dear Christians, it doesn't matter how far you've come in your Christian life or how far you think you have come in your Christian life. God will make it His business to deal with every one of our hearts. Now, this in itself is a great lesson to us. We must understand that only God can deliver and reveal the heart, man's heart, to His children. Now, sound teaching by men in the Holy Spirit can have its effect. Advice from godly Christians can have its effect. But the Christian's heart is God's domain alone. Do not forget that. The Christian heart is God's domain alone. And no one can reveal my heart to me except God alone. And He uses a variety of means to accomplish this. And one of His chief means are allowing certain circumstances in my life to get me to judge my heart before Him. And this is how God dealt with His servant Job. And this is how He deals with you and me today. And just like Job, we are completely blind and unaware that my heart needs to be addressed. Let me say this. Many, if not most Christians today, do not understand and practice the great truth of self-judgment of the heart. And let me again press this point. Confession of sin is only a part of the process. Confession of sin deals only with obvious sin, known sin in my life. But only self-judgment of the heart reveals the sin and the shortcomings and the motivations that we are totally blind to. Now, if you remember nothing else this morning, remember that God requires self-judgment of the heart in every blood-bought child that He has redeemed, no matter who they are, top to bottom. This is God's business. Now, for Job knew, he did know that God was trying him and refining him. He understood this. You read the book, you see that. And yet, he still failed to deal with his heart. And like Job, here is something that we must learn. We as Christians can give intellectual and mental assent to certain truths, and yet still fail to deal with my heart. It is no wonder Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things." I'm afraid many of us fall into this same trap. We give mental assent that God can and does try us for His purposes. We understand that, just like Job did. But I fail to apply that truth that I know intellectually. I fail to apply it to my heart. When we give mental assent to a truth from God's Word and do not apply it and apply that truth to my heart, we are self-deceived. We are practicing self-deception. The heart is deceitful above all things. Now, there was indeed a pattern in the way that God dealt with Job. God used two poetic ways to deal with the heart of His child. He used first affliction. And then secondly, He used friction. He used affliction in the loss of Job's wealth, the loss of his children, and the loss of his health. He used friction in that God permitted Job's three friends to come along to vex him and to provoke him and to unjustly accuse him. Now, today as God deals with His children, He uses the same poetic means to deal with my heart. Usually not to the degree or to the extent that He used with Job, certainly. But most assuredly, God will patiently and compassionately use life's circumstances to refine His children. It's just as we learned the other Wednesday night in Psalm 119. And you remember the psalmist said, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." God always deals with us in faithfulness, whether it be by affliction or by friction. And this truth concerning God's care of His own is taught quite clearly in the New Testament as well. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, for whom the Lord loveth, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives." So, as we go along in life, dear ones, let us not forget that God uses affliction and God uses friction to teach us two things. Two things. First, that we must address and judge our hearts. And secondly, to provoke us to obedience. Now, I do think that we understand how affliction will accomplish these two great qualities in my life, that is, self-judgment and obedience. I think we understand how affliction does that. But I don't think we understand how God uses friction to achieve self-judgment and obedience. If you notice in the book of Job, Job's afflictions alone did not bring about his change of heart and his turning to God. Job still did not know his heart or try to examine his heart even. Now, we must understand that the friction that Job had in dealing with his friends' accusations and their provocations did help drive Job to face his heart. And we know this because of the verses that we just read. It wasn't until his friends came to him and started dealing with him in a very ungracious manner that what was in Job's heart began to surface through his mouth, his tongue. So this is a pattern that God will use in all of His people, but only if we are spiritually aware of it. But in the end, after sending Job, a wise counselor, in the form of Elihu, it finally took God Himself to show Job his heart. Now, we see this in chapters 38 through 42 of this book, where God speaks directly to Job. You know, God deals with us progressively, using affliction and friction to accomplish His goals. But in the end, God deals directly with our hearts. And dear Christians, this is a lesson we must absolutely understand. If I have heart problems, and I do, and we do, only God can remedy that problem. God will use various means to get me to judge my heart. It may take affliction, whether emotional or physical. It may take friction, whether through loved ones or strangers or fellow Christians or co-workers. And please understand this, it does not matter to God whether you are right or wrong in your frictions and in your conflicts with others. It doesn't matter to God whether you're right or whether you're wrong. This is something we need to get a handle on. You can have a totally right position about a matter, but God is seeking to get me to deal with my heart, not the other person's. My heart. Now, God may also use godly counsel as well, just as He did with Job, with Elihu. But in the end, these are simply means to an end. Only God can change the heart. Now, I want you to see something. God teaches Job this very truth in chapter 38. Turn over to chapter 38, if you would. Only God can change the heart. Chapter 38, let's break in at verse 36. And here is God speaking directly to Job, asking the question, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? Now God asked Job a rhetorical question. It is a rhetorical question. Who hath given understanding to the heart? Of course, the answer is only God can. Now, King David understood this truth very well. If you recall, in David's psalm of repentance, in Psalm 51, he said this. He said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Now listen carefully to this. "And in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Dear Christian, my heart, my hidden part, is God's business. And only God can reveal to me my heart and what is in it. "Thou shalt make me to know wisdom in the hidden part," David said. So back here, God asks Job, he says, "Who hath given understanding to the heart?" Job needed to understand some things about himself, things which only God could reveal to him. Do we not see ourselves in Job, this man Job? How many times have we gone through trial and affliction and also friction with others and yet refused to judge our heart? Why is this? Why is this? Well, in our very first study in this series, we established the principle set forth in Scripture. We examined Jeremiah 17:9 and found out that the human heart is deceitful. As a matter of fact, it says deceitful above all things. We refuse to judge our hearts because we deceive ourselves. It's called self-deception. Even God's people are blind and totally unaware of what is coming out of my heart. Where does anger come from? Where does a critical spirit come from? Where does criticism of others come from? Where do feelings of resentment come from? Where does fault finding come from? Where does being easily offended by others come from?
Where do all these things come from?
Do they not come from a self-deceived heart? This is what the Bible teaches. Well, let us look at Job's final response to all these things that God brought before him. Let's look, go over to chapter 42, the last book, the last chapter in this book, chapter 42. Let's break in at verse 5. Now here is Job replying to God. After God got through in chapter 41, Job makes his reply to God. Verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, Job's response is the only response that God will accept from His people. What our God is looking for, both from Job and us, is a soul of broken-hearted repentance. This is the goal. This is the aim of our God. And we do resist that, don't we? Don't we resist that? And so often it takes God's workings in our life, much like Job's, to get us to examine our heart before Him. And we need to make clear the Bible's implication of this truth. The Christian who is sitting here this morning and saying to himself or herself, I don't have a heart problem. I don't have a heart problem. If you're saying that, this is the very one that needs to deal with their heart. The Christian who is sitting here this morning and says to himself, I do have a heart problem, is the one that God can use for His glory. Don't make any mistake about it. Brethren and sisters, we cannot be ignorant of how God deals with us. God's ways are not always pleasant. Repentance itself, by its very nature, is not pleasant. It's not a pleasant thing. But we must weigh carefully the results of repentance to understand why God values it so much. You see, repentance leads to obedience. And obedience shows our love for God. And not only this, but God desires above all else to bless His children. He desires above all else to bless His children. That's His desire. But this blessing that God wants to give us can only come through a humbled, repentant heart. That's the only way it can come through. That was the way our salvation came. Do you remember? And that is the way blessing comes to the child of God as well. Well, verse 12 here in chapter 42 shows this to be the case for Job. Look at verse 12. It says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Now this will be no less true for us if we will deal with our hearts in self-judgment before our God. We need to learn the lesson of the heart that God would teach us from this man Job. Now, for those of us who are God's children and know it. Let us carefully judge our hearts, lest we deceive ourselves and lest we lose the blessing of God. And there are also people here today who believe they are Christians, but are not. God can show you the self-deception of your heart if you would humble your heart before Him. And for those of you who deny this God's existence and very being, know that you are on dangerous ground, that you are lost and undone. But God can take even that self-deceived heart and give it light if you would come to Him in brokenness and contrition. This is what God demands of all men, and especially His children. So we can learn much from God's dealings with this man, Job. Matters of the heart, are they not matters that will count for eternity? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have read Thy Word. We have examined Your servant Job. And in Job, Father, we see ourselves. O Heavenly Father, we do pray that we would not be children that are self-deceived, for our hearts would ever deceive us. Lord, we do know that only You can show us our hearts. But how can You show us our heart if we do not expose it to You and judge it before You? Father, we desire to bear fruit for Thee, to be used of Thee, to be blessed of Thee. You have shown us, Lord, that the only way that this can be done is if we will come to You as a child, humbled, contrite, and repentant. Oh, may it be so for each one of us here this morning, Lord. May Thy Spirit work in our hearts. May You remind us of the things that we have heard. May You remind us of this man, Job. And oh, Heavenly Father, may we learn the lesson that You would teach us. We pray this in the name and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good day.